Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 2 of E4 2024. I'm Tommy. I've almost said I'm Jamie. I don't even know what's going on at this point. I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
Can I just say, now that you've almost forgotten who you are, can I just say that I pledge for the rest of the summer, while we do this show, to get the name of the show correct. We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's an extravaganza, and I realize that. It's just that we haven't been on the air in so long that I totally forgot what we were doing. I did. Yeah, totally
we had a good
forgot.
Laugh about that after the last show. It was quite entertaining. So, you know, it happens. We're professionals. We still stumble over ourselves sometimes, really constantly.
Can we call ourselves professional at this point? Because
we've been doing it a long time. Yeah. I guess there is a difference between professionals and just doing it a long time, which we are just been doing it a long time. So,
well, can I say this? I've seen some stuff this week with some other people talking over stuff, and then various panels and different things. And almost every single time I think, we're better than them. We do this better than they do. What do we got to do to get some sponsors and whatnot? Because we can do that.
If you'd like to sponsor the show, let us know.
Yes.
At gmail.com. We will take your money. Also, we do take a lot of people's money. Big thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luke, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. As always, thank you for your support. It's been fun seeing a couple of comments over on the Patreon with the first show, so keep that going. We love hearing from you guys. So do that at Patreon. If you want to support us there, you can do that. Go by GamingUncensored.com and click that Become a Patron link. Or just find us on Facebook or email us or whatever.
Give us
your thoughts. We want to hear your thoughts. It's cool hearing people's feedback.
I said on the last show that there were people lurking out there that we never talked to, and I posted something on Twitter, and like magic, somebody popped up and said, "Hey!" And I was like, "Dude, why don't you say something?
Yeah,
like, where we want to hear from you." So we know you people are out there.
Yeah.
So speak up.
For sure. All that said, we have an exciting show. I'm pretty pumped about this one. It'll be fun. We are talking about the Xbox showcase from Summer Game Fest time. It's not officially part of Summer Game Fest, but it's all happening at the same time. So whatever it is, they did a showcase. We're going to talk about it. Note that it is the Xbox showcase and not the Microsoft showcase, which I will fail at many times in this because we are just used to calling it Microsoft. But they have gone all in on the Xbox branding for their game division. So it is the Xbox showcase for what that's worth. And Xbox is no longer a platform. That's also very clear in all of this. The box that the whole thing started with is now the brand of the gaming division that is kind of somewhere has some platforms, has some hardware that kind of connects with it, which they did talk about a little bit. We'll talk about that. But obviously, watching this presentation, they are not a hardware company at this point.
I was going to say, we need to talk about the hardware because I think they are finally to a point where I feel like it would benefit you and I to go out and get the hardware. Apparently there's new SKUs coming, various things. And yeah, we got Game Pass, and Game Pass is the focus, but I'm even excited about maybe going out and getting the hardware.
Interesting.
There are several of these titles that I really honestly I want to say would play better on the box, but I really what it is there's a lot of this stuff out there, especially this week, that just fits better on a controller.
Yeah,
and I, you know, you can plug a controller into your PC. It's no big deal. But having that dedicated box, I can see where it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll talk about it more kind of as we get through it. All that said, there are several games, and we will get through a whole bunch of the games like we did before. Probably not hit quite everything, but we will hit a lot of what they showed off. But before we get into that, just general thoughts. What was your vibe coming out of the Xbox showcase?
Well, you know what my vibe was, because you had to deal with my attitude.
The real time texting while you were watching it.
I was freaking out, and the whole time I was like, dude's probably working, he's probably in a booth somewhere trying to run Vacation Bible School, and I really don't give a crap. I just sort of went nuts because for the first time in a while I feel like this was an old man showcase. I'm not saying that everything that they showed was just the greatest thing ever. What I'm saying is, for the first time in a while, it felt geared toward you and me. Right? Like that was what had me geeked more than anything else. The first game with the thing and the swamp and the church. Like, I don't even know what that is, but I want to try that.
Yeah.
And they went game after game after, and I'm like, this is an old man showcase. To the point that when it was over, I texted Duff and I was like, dude, I know it's not your thing, but you got to check this out. And 20 minutes in, he was like, dude, I'm freaking out over here. And I said, yeah, it's an old man show. That's what it was. It was a show for us.
Yeah, I would not dispute that. I think you're onto something there. They lean heavily into nostalgia, and we'll talk about some of those games that, if you are not our age, don't matter to you. And so, like, there's definitely that component to it that was cool. We could talk more, discuss more about how much of those we saw and how excited we are about those things when we get to them. But you are correct in that it is leaning, as like everything does at this point, pretty heavily on nostalgia. Like, they know that nostalgia is a powerful thing. And so if you can get that nostalgia in there in a new way, you are likely to capture an audience that creating something completely new has a much harder time doing. That said, there is a very cool looking new game that we'll talk about. We talked about last year. That's a couple of my complaints about it. It's a couple of the coolest things we saw last year. Right. I didn't really see anything more from that. Go ahead. And then I got my point I'll make, and we'll get into
it. I was just going to say that there was a couple of things that we saw last year that didn't really change. But one of the things that I liked about this was there was some stuff in here that we saw last year that was more fleshed out. I feel like. Like we saw, we knew Perfect Dark was coming because they gave us a teaser for Perfect Dark. We got Perfect Dark. There was a few other ones like that that was like, yeah, they talked about it last year, but not like this. And so that's part of what had me geeked was some of this stuff we've seen a couple of years in a row, and now it's actually a thing, and it's like, holy cow, they're going to deliver. Holy cow.
That's where I would stop you. That's the hang up that I have with the Xbox thing, and where I'm less enthusiastic about it than you are. I don't think that they showed me that they've got any of this stuff yet, in that almost everything was just sizzle, right?
Right.
There was so little substance
in
terms of gameplay, of terms of mechanics. So Perfect Dark is a good example of that. South of Midnight, which again, those are two we saw last year that are way more fleshed out this year. Both are fantastic looking. I love the Perfect Dark thing. It was great.
Yes.
And it was, of all of them, the one that kind of showed the most sense of gameplay, but still didn't actually give you, like, here's how the game's going to play. There's a lot of that. Like, it was a whole lot of, like, that's really cool vibes. The Fable thing. Cool vibes.
Yeah.
But nothing about how the game plays, right? Like, nothing about what that's going to feel like when you put a controller in. I don't know what South of Midnight is still, right? Like, it looks cool. I love the environment. I love the vibe of it. I love the humor around, like, all the, like, sizzle stuff is very cool. But I don't know what I'm going to do when I put a controller in my hand.
The thing is, you have Dr. Lee in your brain. Dr. Lee always said, if the trailer's good, whatever the product is, it's probably right. going to suck. That's what you're feeling. Like,
And I don't, like, I mean, I think legitimately so, insofar, I mean, some of these are going to be good and some of them are going to be bust. Not every one of these is going to be a fantastic A-plus title, but just the nature of things. Like, games don't work that way, and we know that coming in. You just don't get any sense of where it's going to land
right.
when you don't have any, like, actual, like, what is this as a game? You only get the kind of content stuff, which I'm not saying is a bad thing in and of itself, so far as, like, I want to know the vibes. I want to know, like, especially like South of Midnight, like, how that game is going to feel. But I also need to know how it's going to play. And something like Perfect Dark, that game's probably 3 years out minimum. They didn't have any kind of tease on a release window or anything like it. That with it, like, whatever that game is, isn't what we saw during this press conference. Right, like, it just is too far out. They're showing us a concept of what they want that game to be, but not what that game is.
Can I add to that, in that I didn't believe a single date that I, and this applies across all of the things that I've seen. I've seen basically everything at this point, with a few exceptions. I don't believe any date that I see.
Yeah, no, and you shouldn't.
Unless they say this, which happens during the PC Game Show, this is out today or it's out next week or whatever. Unless they say that, like, I don't believe you.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And the things that did have dates in the Xbox Showcase were largely next year.
There
was a couple of things that were this year in the Xbox Showcase, but it is very future looking, with a lot of things that were next year and a lot of things that just don't have a release date at all. Like, that, this is them kind of setting the stage of what they want their brand to be. And if they deliver, let me be clear, there's a lot of exciting stuff in there. Like, there's a lot of really good looking stuff for Xbox over the next couple of years, if this pans out, but it's not stuff that's here right now.
And I feel good for you and I, because just as an example, I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, but when Dove started watching it, he said, Snake Eater looks right up your alley. And I said, it is up my alley, and it should be up yours too. You just don't know yet. And he goes, wait, are you telling me that's a remake? And I was like, yeah. Tommy and I played it 20 years ago. It was the second game we ever played together. And he went, holy crap, man. but like, there's stuff out there that we played that nobody understands. Like, this is a game that's been there before and it's coming back around. And Perfect Dark and Snake Eater are two of those that, like, we know because we played them, but the vast majority of people don't know.
Yeah, and that's a big question on, can they capitalize on these franchises past the nostalgia of us? Again, we're in. You're going to get us on those things. And, like, I am jonesing for Metal Gear, because we haven't had new Metal Gear in so long, that, like, this looks great to me, because I just want new Metal Gear, even though it's not new Metal Gear, but it's been long enough since I've played it
that,
like, it's going to feel fresh, and I'm really excited about that. But if you're not in Metal Gear, like, world and into Metal Gear lore, like, it's not the most approachable game to just jump
in. No, it's not.
I'm curious about it as kind of how they execute. Also, Is it exclusive? I mean, it's third party.
Nothing is exclusive at this point. Are you kidding?
That's right. But that, all I'm saying is, like, that's not necessarily good for Microsoft that they have Snake Eater, if Snake Eater's coming out everywhere, which I think it is, but I don't know that.
So
I'm gonna look it up.
So here's the thing, like I, and part of the reason I got Duff to sit down and watch this is because we're gonna have to drag him into Metal Gear. Like, it's gonna take him a little bit to understand that this is something he's really gonna enjoy, because you're like, you're right, Metal Gear is weird. It's not straightforward. It's not a Splinter Cell. It's not a Call of Duty. Metal Gear is weird. And yeah, if you don't understand that Metal Gear is weird, you're going to play it for 30 minutes and you're going to be like, this is weird. I don't think I care. I'm out. And that's a mistake.
Yeah,
they're great.
They are fantastic, and it's worth getting into even if you've never played them before. But it's going to it's a commitment. You got to buy into it. You're going to be rewarded if you do buy into it. By the way, it is coming to PlayStation 5 and PC.
Yeah, so
no shock there. But just that's not even like good for Microsoft on having that highlighted in their show. I'm not knocking them for that. But I will play that on the PlayStation 5 almost certainly, you know. Yeah. Like, that's the way this works. Anyway, that said, because we're already talking about the games, let's talk about the games officially, and we'll kind of walk through the games that they showed off, starting just from the top, and we'll move quickly through some of these because we don't have much to say, like Call of Duty Black Ops 6, which, by the way, how the crap is it Black Ops 6? My
right
word. like I knew that intellectually, but then when they said it out loud, I was like, no, that's not right. It's George H.W. Bush. There was a whole lot of George H.W. Bush in that trailer. So again, like us growing up in the 90s, and we remember Desert Storm.
Yeah,
and like stuff. I was like, oh yeah, that's my childhood, and now a game about war. Cool, you know. Like, we have arrived to that point of our agedness where our childhood games are about the global conflicts that happened, and not like, ooh, cool skateboarding.
Which we'll get to, ooh, cool skateboarding. I saw something that we have to talk about, but you're right. Like, that's part of it, is that they are trying to approach stuff that we lived, like, yeah, we were there.
They said, let's make a Call of Duty for 40-year-old men, and they did. I mean, as far as Call of Duty go, it looks fine. Like, it's pretty.
Okay,
let
me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we already had the Call of Duty discussion. We said we don't care. Mm-hmm. But does it matter to you that it's on Game Pass? Because I think I would attempt it if I thought I wasn't just going to get slaughtered by the AI at this point. Like, I started out in life playing first-person shooters. Like, I started with Half-Life. And, of course, the only way that I survived Half-Life was quick save. And I haven't attempted a first-person shooter in a while because I just, the not the AI, the whatever the word is, the computer control characters are smarter than what they were back in the day, and I'm not good enough to not get slaughtered.
AI is the right term there, right?
Well, I think it is.
I just have a different connotation of AI now, but right. Yes.
And so I love first-person shooters, but I haven't played them in a really long time because, like I said, the computer is better than it was back in the day. And I don't want to, like, sit around and get slaughtered by a computer all day. And so I think especially if we're sitting in the same room, if we're sitting in the game room with the good sound and the big TV and the whole ball, like, I feel like trying Black Ops because it's on Game Pass is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I hadn't really considered that. It's not a game still that I'm necessarily looking forward to, but if it's there, It's kind of a why not. And it is like, that's a lot of the stuff in this showcase. It's not stuff that I'm necessarily looking forward to, but it's kind of like, it's on Game Pass. I might fire it up for a couple hours. And that's probably all I would play Call of Duty. And I'd probably really enjoy it. I'm not going to play online. I'm not going to play against other people. I'm probably not going to make it through the campaign, but I'll probably play a couple hours of it and go, kind of fun shooting a gun for a little bit.
I mean, seriously, the last Call of Duty I played was Modern Warfare, and I didn't get all the way through it.
Yeah.
And that's just, while I was watching all of this, because over the last 2 days, I've just binged. Like, I told myself, I've got to get through all of this, because we're fixing to have to do a bunch of shows, and I'm not going to have time. And so I just binged. And while I was sitting there watching all of this, I made a list of all of the games that you and I have started and we have yet to finish. Yeah. And the list is absurd.
Yeah, that's a terrifying list.
It's absolutely terrifying. Like, how can we call ourselves a gaming show? Because we have 8 zillion games that we have started and not finished. But that is the nature of things because of the time required to do this and to try and get a little bit of everything in.
Yeah.
We just have a massive list of games that we need to get through, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'm going to derail on just a thought on that for just a second, because it's a thought that I've had recently, just thinking through that exact problem, because it is the thing that we deal with, that I don't feel that bad about it anymore in so far as the, like, if I enjoy the time that I put into a game but don't get to the end of it and I want to know how it ends, I can find that out. I don't have to belabor playing a game all the way to the end to get the fulfillment out of it that I need to get out of it. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like your thought, but here's my pushback. I agree in the broad sense of things, but there are a few series out there that I feel like when you retire and when we don't have anything else to do and when we have, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week that we can just sit around and play video games. That's another list that I made in my head. Like, if we had to make a plan and say, okay, these are the games that we're going to finish this year because we never got around to it. You know what number one on that list is?
Huh.
The Witcher. That entire franchise, we need to sit down and play. Because it's that good, okay? Another franchise on that list, and of course it's not as big because we've played a lot of this franchise, but for me, that I would like to play with you in the same room is Grand Theft Auto 4, 5, and 6. We need to play those three.
Yeah.
There are franchises that I'm like, I agree with what you're saying in principle, but there are franchises it's like, nah, we gotta play that.
I would agree. There's definitely exceptions to that. But I have in the past been in a mindset of, I started this game, I have to finish it because I started it and have invested so much time into it that you get like sunk cost fallacy, that I've now given myself permission to say, YouTube exists and it has the ending to the game. And if I don't want to finish that last third of the game or whatever, because I'm moving on to something else, I'm having more fun playing, honestly, which is what happens, right? Like, I pick up something else and I'm like, oh man, I'm really liking this.
Or something that has your brain working. And in my case, the last 3 nights, I've had 30 minutes to fire the game after I watched everything. And I've gone to Midnight Suns all 3 times, and I haven't gotten anywhere with the game. I'm just trying to figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
Because it's way more complicated than what I thought it was going to be. And even for a deck builder, like, I'm having to spend time trying to figure it out, because you can't just, like, pick a card and know that the enemy's dead and, like, it doesn't work that way. You really have to strategize and figure it out. So I've played the same encounter like 4 times, and I still haven't gotten to it because I'm trying to figure out how the systems of the game work. And I told Duff, I was like, Midnight Suns is going to be a huge time sink, and I don't have time for this because I need to be playing Cyberpunk and Baldur's Gate 3. But I'm going to spend the time because it has my brain working. Like, I don't quite understand how to be good at the game, and that pisses me off. And so I'm going to play it till I figure it out. And kind of the same deal with Bellatro or whatever you want to put in there. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree. And those things get in the way all the time. And so having permission to not have to get...
Let me ask you this. What in your mind... This is not where we plan to go with this. but what... in your mind makes it okay to do that with a game? Because another one that I feel like we have to finish is The Last of Us 2.
See, that's a good one to bring up because I don't have that need to finish it at this point. Insofar, maybe this is the thing, is if I feel like I have experienced what the gameplay has to offer, the story part of it, I can find out, right?
Okay.
And that's not right. Like it's such a weird balance because it's not like I don't have any interest in watching people play games, really. We've talked about that in the past.
No, me either.
And so it's not that I just go online and just watch somebody stream the game because it's not my thing. But it's, you know, watching somebody do a recap because I've done this with The Last of Us 2 because I wanted to know how The Last of Us 2 ends. And so I went.
I haven't.
Yeah, which is maybe one of the reasons. I mean, there's lots of reasons that we haven't got back into it, most of which is just there's too many other games. But one of the reasons I haven't felt as needing to get back into it is because I went and figured out how it ended. And it's fascinating, and I'm glad I did. And, like, I've experienced the gameplay to the extent of, like, what there is in it. You know, like, The Last of Us, I think, is a really good example because it's a game that can't really shock me anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has already done so many things that are, like, out of left field or doing, like, it's just to the point that, like, I'm a little desensitized.
Yeah,
to
I was going to say desensitized to the, yeah, okay. It's
which,
it's kind of the same issue The Walking Dead has.
Yes, like, very much so.
I'm 7 seasons into The Walking Dead, the original Walking Dead, and I don't care. Right? Yeah. Because what are you going to show me? Like,
exactly. Yeah, and I'm more invested in The Last of Us as a video game and, honestly, as a TV show at this point. But as a video game, insofar as I wanted to know what happened, but I didn't want to put in the time that it would have taken to figure out what happened when I wanted to find out what happened, if that makes sense. And so I went and found, you know, like, hey, summarize the plot for me. Tell me how The Last of Us.
See, I'm the opposite because that's cool and I'll do that if I have to. But I enjoy watching the story play out.
Right. Sure. And I mean, in a perfect world, I think you hit it the nail on the head right there. If you have to, like, in a perfect world, I'd play through them all too. I just don't have the time to do that.
So
and if I had the time to do that, I would absolutely play through every single game I could. But without that time, if I say, okay, either I finish The Last of Us 2 and don't get to play this game, because if I don't start it, I'm not going to go find whatever's going on.
Right.
Or I go and, you know, watch kind of the plot summary for the ending of The Last of Us 2, and then I also get to add this game to the games that I played. That's the decision you kind of have to make with it. And there's some games that are absolutely going to do that. There's some games that are not. Like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I'm going to play that thing to the end.
Yes.
Because we're suckers for Final Fantasy in a way different than The Last of Us. And that is not to say that Final Fantasy is better than The Last of Us or vice versa, but it's just a different thing for me personally and what I want out of a game.
Okay, so this is a massive debate. We talk about the Facebook page and the voicemail line and all that all the time. this is one of those situations where we want to hear from you. 509-GAME-210. What do you think about what we're talking about here? Because this show is supposed to be about the Xbox Showcase, and we're off on this tangent because I find it interesting. Because I'm going to be real honest with you. If you say to me, sir, we're not ever going to get back to The Last of Us or Red Dead, I'm going to take the time to go find those games basically where we were and watch somebody play them, because I want more out of those than a recap.
Yeah.
Like there are certain games that a recap is fine.
I'm going to interrupt you there, because I think the two you brought up are really interesting examples, because one of those I feel like a recap makes sense for, and the other one I don't. If I had to choose one of those two games to go back to, and I could only go back to one of them, I'd go back to Red Dead.
Yeah.
Because there's gameplay that I haven't experienced in Red Dead, because it's this open world and there's so much stuff to do. The Last of Us is brilliant. I don't want to like understate but that. I'm not devaluing it.
See, that's the thing about Cyberpunk. I'm like 140 hours into Cyberpunk. I'm not going to stop playing Cyberpunk, because Cyberpunk, for all its flaws, there's still stuff to do. There's still stuff to find. There's still
In a third category with Cyberpunk, I don't care that much about how Cyberpunk ends. I'm interested, but I'm not that invested in the story. And so I'm not going to go look up a summary about how Cyberpunk ends, because that's not what Cyberpunk's about. You know, like Red Dead's kind of smack in the middle, where I do want to know what happens in the resolution of the narrative, because the narrative's so strong, but I also want to play the gameplay because the gameplay is so strong. It is varying, whereas The Last of Us kind of gets into a mode of doing mostly the same stuff. Again, I'm trying not to minimize it. I really think The Last of Us 2 is fantastic. But there's different things.
Sad is having a stroke.
Right. But, and give yourself permission to experience those games in whatever way makes the most sense for you. And that's okay. And I release yourself to that. Don't stress about video games.
Can we talk about something else real quick that's great about this show? Because until we had this discussion, I was really having sort of a mental breakdown about all the stuff that you and I have to do. And so I'm watching all of this, all these presentations last night and the day before, and while I'm doing that, I'm adding games to my wish list that I see that I want to give to somebody. In a lot of these cases, it was Avery, because I'm working on a little project that I can't talk about yet because she might hear the show. But after like tomorrow, I'll be able to tell you what's going on. So anyway, I'm adding all of these games to my wish list because I want to give them to somebody. And in the process of that, I thought, this is why this is the best time of year, because people have given us more games than we could ever play. Now I'm making a list of games to give to somebody else. This is why I love this pastime. It's not about, like you're saying, it's not about necessarily getting through the games. It, for me, it's about sharing the experience with somebody else. The reason I put off The Last of Us and Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto, like I'm literally myself halfway through Grand Theft Auto 4, and I have 10 minutes in Grand Theft Auto 5. More than 10, I have an hour in Grand Theft Auto 5. But the reason I haven't picked any of those back up is because I enjoy those games while playing them with you. It is a social experience for me, partially because I don't have the reflexes to play them well in most cases, but mostly because you're here, we have drinks in our hand and we have food, and like that it is a social experience for me.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. So All of that said, let's get back to the Xbox games because we do want to get through these. So we'll move through a couple of them quickly. New Doom game coming, Doom the Dark Ages, which is right. Like medieval.
See, let me just say, I'm so excited there's new Doom. Don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with Doom. Like, again, it's on Game Pass. So I'll fire it up because, like, it scratches an itch that, like, will be satiated after 20 minutes, you know? And I'll go, oh, it's cool. All right, let's move on, you know, and go to something else. State of Decay 3, saw some don't care. New stuff. Fine, whatever. This one, this one is okay. Dragon Age the Veil Guard. Yeah.
I mean,
what was your thoughts here?
So most of the way through it, I was like, what is this?
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? And I haven't really felt good. We're probably going to get banned somewhere for saying this, but I haven't really felt good about Dragon Age since the original. I know you played Dragon Age 2. I still have the original on my system at my parents' house, and I still have a chunk of time DLC I can go back and play it. To me, that's the best in the franchise. And recently I've looked around, and now everybody's talking about how good Inquisition was, and it came up on Epic and for free, and so now I have it. Yeah. But I'm just, other than that first game, I'm not super invested in Dragon Age at this point.
Yeah, the first game was so good. It was really, really fantastic. And Inquisition, I didn't play all the way through it. You know, it's one of those games that I wish I would have had time to do that. But I enjoyed what I did play of it, which was like 10 years ago. That was a long time ago that Dragon Age 2 came out. And so I have something in me that wants to be excited about Dragon Age, and this just didn't do it for me. It just, like, I had heard already, like, there was, you know, like a report that Dragon Age 4 would be at, you know, the Xbox show. And I was like, okay, I'm really excited about it. And I didn't clock this was Dragon Age 4 until right at the end, you know? And I was like, oh, that was it? Really? That was it? Oh, you know, like, it just kind of bummed me out, so... Maybe we'll see more of it. But I did read a report of somebody who played the first 45 minutes off of some publication, maybe Rock, Paper, Shotgun. I don't remember what it was. Saying it's good. Saying it reminded them a lot of Inquisition. Like, it had some of the same magic that Inquisition did. And so maybe it'll be good. But what they showed did not get me excited. And what they showed didn't have gameplay. And that was the thing. Like, show me gameplay. That's one of the reasons I couldn't get my head around that it was Dragon Age. Because it was just look, here's like in the whatever. Like, just, yeah, I did get there. So. Starfield is getting an expansion called Shattered Space that's kind of horror-ish, which was right. Interesting.
Which I told you, I texted you, I was kind of jazzed about it because it didn't feel like Starfield to me.
Yeah, it really didn't.
It
at least
felt like a Starfield. Different game, and I was like, what is this? I have to see this. And while I'm texting you, I'm also texting Duff, and he said something about Starfield. Like, you have to play Starfield. And I was like, dude, I'm going to take the cyberpunk approach with Starfield. I'm not touching Starfield until everything is out. Until it's done, and I know it's done, then I will play it. Right now, it's loaded on my machine because of Game Pass. But when I really legit start playing it, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to mod it because that's what I do with Bethesda games. And it's going to be awesome. And that's how I feel about it.
I hope so. I'm kind of in the same boat. We'll get there when we get there. So, speaking of Bethesda, we got more Fallout 76. Okay. Right. It's kind of where... we both are with Fallout 76 at this point. Got a game called Expedition 33. This one looked interesting.
Is that the one with the scientists and six people and like kind of wastelandy?
Yes, and it's like it's like I don't remember exactly what it is. Some kind of weird like this like overlord queen is like controlling death or something. I don't remember what it was. It was crazy looking, but it had real action-oriented combat that looks a whole lot like Final Fantasy VII Remake kind of combat,
right.
Which is cool, but also kind of party-centric and all this kind of stuff. I'm not exactly sure, again, because there's not a good explanation of gameplay in all any of these, but it did show us some gameplay, and so you get some idea of how it's going to play. It's one of those that's probably going to be a pretty mediocre game, like when you look at it, but has like that tiny thread of a possibility of being something really cool.
Yeah.
South of Midnight, we've already mentioned, we got a teaser trailer for it. Doesn't talk about or doesn't show anything really gameplay-ish. Gives you a sense there's probably going to be a lot of kind of platforming, parkour-ish kind of elements to it, which could be cool, at least from what we saw with this trailer. The vibe, the environment, the creatures, the character, like all of that stuff, spot on, super.
Yep, cool. It's great.
Whatever else we get out of it, who knows? But that part's super cool.
My thing with that was like, if you're gonna pick one to make a cartoon out of, can somebody turn that into like a TV show?
Yes.
Like I don't care about the game so much yet, but that would make an awesome TV show.
Yes. I agree. That's what part of like where I'm at odds with a lot of stuff. That like I would watch that as a TV show. I don't know that I'd play it as a video game because I don't know what it is as a video game. But the world and the concept, all that stuff, super cool stuff. World of Warcraft has another expansion coming, which is great. In our like, if we just played games 100% of the time, I would love to still be playing World of Warcraft.
Yes.
There's no chance I could ever get back into it. Like, you know, like just the commitment that it takes. But just watching it just made me so nostalgic still.
I really love playing Warcraft. We did that. We played the Lich King and we played Cataclysm and we like, yeah.
It was great. I loved it all. Snake Eater, we mentioned already. We got a new trailer for Snake Eater. Again, we saw this last year, I believe. Was it at the Xbox show last year?
I believe so, yes.
They announced it last year. It looks great. That's what I don't need to see gameplay because I know how Metal Gear plays, right?
Yeah.
Like that one is just like, just give it to me already, which they still don't have a release date for it. So that's the sad part of it. But it looks cool.
So, okay, so let's take just a second and talk about remakes, because everything's getting a remake.
Right.
But I kind of feel the same way that you do. It has been so long since we played a Metal Gear in general, and it's been even longer since we played Snake Eater. And Snake Eater was probably pivotal in where we are in our lives as two dudes that play video games and do a show together. It's probably because of Snake Eater. Like, you got in so much trouble in your early married life.
Yes.
Because we tried desperately to finish Snake Eater. And I remember that night, your flip phone and it keeps going off. And you're like, where are you? What's going on? And you're like, I'll be home. Like, it kept going, and like we couldn't put it down. I can't wait to experience that again.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like Final Fantasy VII in that way of like it just is, like it was so good originally, and if they could. And it's not Kojima, and so like we know that like this is Konami doing this, but Kojima is doing his own thing at this point. But still, they could so easily do like the mind trip thing that Final Fantasy VII did at the end of Remake, where they're like, "Oh, and shocker, this is actually a whole different like universe of a game of things happening." Like that would fit in completely to Metal Gear as well. That they could just like start a new timeline in the Metal Gear universe with this too, and not make it just a strict remake, but actually like blow up like what it is and be weird about it like Final Fantasy VII was. And I would love that in every second of it. If Kojima was part of it, even more so, but still they could do that with Metal Gear and it would be fascinating.
Yeah.
And terrible. like just like crazy. It's just all this stuff,
so. Look, Look, I we both have really nice PCs at this point. I know what you said about playing it on the PlayStation 5 because the PlayStation 5 lives at your house, and that makes total sense.
Sure.
However, I'm looking down at this PC that I have under my desk here going, I'm so glad I have this because you put it on the PC with the sound and the big screen going, it's going to be the greatest experience that we've ever had. Like, hopefully, like, they can really screw it up. But, like, when we play this thing, it will be the experience that we as 20-something-year-old idiots were wishing for when we started this show. And so when we sit down and play Snake Eater or Perfect Dark or insert old game here, and it's so fabulous, it will be because this is what we wanted out of life when we were 20. Like, you know, like, that's what it is. It's all nostalgia.
Yeah. Now, if we just had the time to capitalize on all the nostalgia, life would be grand. So there you go. We'll get into more nostalgia here in just a second. Quickly, Sea of Thieves. Meh.
Okay, can I say something about it? I actually find what they're trying to do interesting. I actually, like, I watched an extended kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's really cool. And if I was into, like, ships and pirates and crap, I'd be all over this. Like, I see what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Like, I don't have time. I'm not touching that.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Skipping over a couple. There's a new age or remake of Age of Mythology, which is cool, but not one that I'm sentimental towards. And so that doesn't scratch the nostalgia bug. Then we get to Perfect Dark. And that does. That is, you know, something we grew up with. And the complaint I have about it is that it is so early still, pretty obviously, that I'm not sure what we saw is what the game is going to be that we get. But if they give us the game that we saw, my goodness, like, it just looks so freaking cool.
I ran the stream back twice.
Yeah.
Because I was like, did I really see that? I ran it back twice.
It's so good. And it gave us gameplay. Like, we saw gameplay, like, so much of it for a game that's so far off. Like, they were showing, like, navigating the world, and this has a pretty heavy, like, parkour element. Like, it had a very Mirror's Edge feel at some point, like, which I dig. I think that's a really cool kind of thing to bring to
it's really cool.
Yeah, and some of the hacking stuff, and the environments look cool. Like, every bit of it just looks fantastic.
The very first text that I sent Duff, actually the second text that I sent him, actually said, after that trailer, it said, dude, I'm going to need another upgrade. whatever hardware it takes to make that game look like that, like, whatever. Just tell me what I need to plug in to get the most out of that, and I'm all in.
Yeah, for sure. And you don't have to worry about upgrading for like 5 years, probably, because it's probably gonna be 5 years.
That's right.
But that's okay. Diablo 4 is getting new content. Cool. Again, I wish I had more time to play Diablo. You know, like, it's just like so many games. I'm like, Diablo's great.
So here's the thing about, I'm so glad they're doing what they're doing. It's sitting on my system, and I'll come back to it at some point, but it's like way down the list right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is,
which is sad because it's actually really good. Just, there's just so much other stuff out there. Fable, we talked about Fable a little bit already. We saw another story trailer that doesn't have any gameplay. And so how this thing works.
I will say this, though. It made me smile.
It did.
And the fact that it made me smile was a big deal.
Yeah. They've got the humor. They've got the tone. Like, if you can deliver a gameplay experience that's somewhat fun with all of that, like, I think you're onto something. I just don't know that they can, you know, like, I just don't have any faith at this point that Fable is actually going to be a fun game to play. Might be an interesting game as a thing, as a story, as a narrative, as a humor experience, gameplay, I just don't know. They've got to show me gameplay at some point with Fable. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, it's pretty and it's funny and it's like they've got all those things, just like we talked about with South of Midnight. I just got to know how it plays. And if it's any way fun in the way that it plays, then I'm probably on board.
Absolutely.
Let me see here. Again, I'm skipping through a handful. Some of the kind of more indie stuff. There's this Winter Burrow that kind of looks my speed, yeah. Where you're like a mouse, like gathering materials. And
right. Yeah. That was cool.
Which looks pretty cool. Mixtape looks very interesting.
I texted you about it because I'm like, we gotta, because it's got, my thing was, that's a Life is Strange vibe.
Very much so.
From when we grew up.
Yeah.
Like, that's because it's about, I said we have to talk about it because it's built around music.
Yes.
And I mean, honestly, it's built around music that we love. We like old music, but we really, really love old music. And so, yeah.
Yeah, when it kind of listed all the artists from the soundtrack, where I was like, yeah, this is going to be pretty cool. And it's like this cool stop motion style that is really interesting looking. So visually it's doing something that doesn't look like anything else exactly that's out there right now. And so I don't know what it is, again, as many of these things that we've talked about, but it is intriguing. And because it does feel Life is Strange-ish, you can kind of guess that it's probably going to play in that sort of vein, which would be fine. We enjoy the Life is Strange games, and so that would be cool.
Going back to the discussion from earlier, I was trying to think what the last game was that I finished. I think it was a Life is Strange game.
Yeah.
So,
that's fair. So. Let's see here. What else did we have? New Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's cool. It's Flight Sim, like whatever. Elder Scrolls Online getting more stuff. Life is Strange. It was Life is Strange. I forgot about that.
They're bringing Max back, which
is cool.
I had to rewind twice on that because I'm like, did I see that right? Is that Max? And yes, it is.
Yeah, so she's back, which is cool because we know her as a character in this universe. And it's like this like weird alternate like dimension trying to solve a murder, and like it's
play it.
Yes, Life is Strange. Life is Strange is great. What do we got to talk about a little bit? Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which we've seen, you know, we've heard talked about this Bethesda's take on Indiana Jones. And we have talked about how we are big, big fans of the franchise, especially early on. I still haven't seen the most recent one, which
me either.
We should. Yeah. But the first three Indiana Jones movies are such a part of my childhood. I at one point had all three of them basically memorized and haven't watched them back in a while. There's some problematic things about those movies in retrospect, but like still just good nostalgic fun. The way that Troy Baker has captured Indy is pretty phenomenal. Like hearing
stop. Let me just say, it's pretty, 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 pretty good.
It really, like, and I don't know what it, because we've heard it before. Like, we've heard his take on Indiana Jones in previous trailers. But just from the very beginning of this one, I went, my goodness, they went and got Harrison Ford. Like, that's Harrison Ford's voice. Like, they AI'd something to get Harrison Ford, because that is he just really had it really spot on. Just the mannerisms and the cadence, and I was like, okay, you got that part right. I still don't know if the gameplay of this is going to be good. The first person part of it still seems really weird to me. And watching the gameplay, I'm like, first person, really? I feel like I just got to get it in my hands and see it. I'm going to play it because I'm such a massive Indiana Jones person that I will 100% play it. I just really hope it's even just decent, if not good. need it to not suck.
So going back to young us's, to quote Bill and Ted, a lot of why I got super excited about this thing is because a lot of what we saw, including Indy, we now have the room to play that stuff in.
Yeah.
And I can't express to you how good the sound was. And all I have in my brain is you and I in this really dark room with this really big screen with comfortable chairs and drinks in our hand. And like, it's Indy. Like, it just as an example, Indy or Perfect Dark or whatever it is we're playing, we now have the room to experience that the way we always wanted to experience it. And that's like 60% of it. Like, I was geeked out because I was like, we finally have the space. We can finally do this right.
Yeah.
And Indy is on that list. Like, we have to play it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, Indy's just so good. I just love Indiana Jones. Again, skipping over a bunch here because we're just running out of time. But if we skip over anything you want to hear us talk about, let us know. We'll come back and talk about it, I promise.
Yeah.
They showed us more Avowed. I still can't get into Avowed.
Nope.
I want to. I just can't. It just doesn't interest me that much.
It's better, but still nope.
Yeah, still nope. Adam Fall looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like everything else, but it had some interesting things. Assassin's Creed Shadows. We're going to talk more about this one when we talk about Ubi, because they showed a lot more of it in the Ubi showcase. But Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is the Japan setting Assassin's Creed, is the official name of it, looks kind of cool. Okay. looks pretty legit.
So I'm excited about one aspect of this game in particular. I think the samurai thing is cool, but I know that I'm going to suck at that gameplay. So the part of it that really has me sucked in is the sneaky stuff. Like, I can do that, and I realize she's only going to be half the game, but that's what has me excited.
Yeah, and I kind of like that idea of it, the, like, dual assassin thing where you have, like, the sneaky assassin, and then you have the, like, clobber people assassin. Like, kind of sounds fun, and the way that they talked about it again in the Ubi show, because we didn't get this from the Microsoft show, but in the Ubi show, they talked about how essentially you'll be able to play the game basically switching between them whenever you want, using which one you prefer for whatever you're trying to accomplish. And that's cool. I like that idea, and I'm interested to see how it plays out and if, you know, Assassin's Creed can capture us again. They've made good games recently that are those Ubi games that are like 85 games, you know, and that's great. But like, we just never touched Valhalla, which is a shame, but like, just couldn't. This one I hope to get into. There's just so many of them. It's just so hard to keep up with. So anyway, as you mentioned before, there's some new SKUs coming. Terabyte Series S is coming, a white Series X, and then a black Series X that has a 2 terabyte drive in it. And so, hey guys, just Tommy here. Really quickly, we had to end the show abruptly. Family stuff happens sometimes. And so dealing with kids and that kind of stuff. So we will be back to finish our conversation. Big thing we just didn't get to was Gears of War. New Gears of War coming. Yay. So we'll discuss that. But for right now, we will be back soon talking about PC Game Show and Ubisoft and all the other things, Future Game Show and all the other things that are happening around Summer Game Fest. So look forward to seeing you then. For now, we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.